Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Most Merciful. To all of our viewers out there, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace and blessings of God be upon all of you. And we're glad that you're joining us back in the rational, the intersection of faith and reason with our beloved guest, Dr. Ja'far Sheikh Idris. Dr. Ja'far, as always, it's been such a beautiful, beautiful, joyful pleasure that we have you with us. Sheikh, last time we talked about human rights and the Islamic perspective on this. Another aspect of Islam that maybe people, you know, our brothers and sisters who may not be of the Muslim faith, do not necessarily understand about the nature and the dynamics of Islam, is that every time we speak about Islam, we say Islam is a way of life. And they see that there is no dichotomy or there is no rift between that which is personal, that which is religious, that which is political, and that which is spiritual. And that includes issues of church and state as well. In our case, of course, it won't be the church. But there is none of this in Islam.
There is none of this. And even in the even in the West, it is something new. That it has not been so. This morning I was revising this topic and read in one of the articles that I have on my computer. Someone said, for the past 2 millennia, in most countries, church and state had been either linked or actually merged. This is in the West. And then he started giving examples of the relation between the church and the state in Britain, where the Queen is the head of the church of England, and so on. I gave so many examples. So this is something new, even in the West.
What is new is the separation of
the separation, the separation. And I remember this famous Orientalist Bernard Lewis once said that this is something that is peculiar to Christianity. I don't know why he said, but he said this. Now,
I'm sorry, he meant the merge between the church or the separation?
The separation. And not every, not all religions can do this. Now, why was this idea introduced? Again, it is because of something in the history of religion in the West. There were so many conflicts between religions, and once people of a certain religion come to power, they persecute others. For example, if they are Catholics, they persecute Protestants and force them to become Catholics. If they are not, if they do not become Catholics, they kill them. Also, this is what they do. They did with Jews and Muslims in Spain. So they said, "Why not leave these religions outside politics? Give each religion the right to people that who belong to each religion the right." To
exist,
to worship
practice,
as they do. But when we come to politics, let us come just as citizens, irrespective of
our beliefs.
Our beliefs, and let us have a system that is neutral among religions. It is not Christian. It is not Islamic. It is not, and this will solve the problem of conflict. But the problem was, and is a logical one, there, in fact, this is something just imposed on religions. In fact, no system of government that makes laws can be neutral. It's impossible. Whether the system is based on Islam or Christianity or Judaism or secularism or communism or whatever, if all the laws are made according to that ideology, then it necessarily there will necessarily be conflict with other ideologies. So the idea of having a system of government that is neutral among all religions is completely false. Many people in the United States tried to find justification of this, and there was no justification at all, because this is something that is logically impossible. It would have been possible if the domain of the state was different from the domain of religion. This is a domain, and this is another domain.
Mm.
They are different.
Mm.
So the state can be neutral among these different domains. But the problem is that there's an intersection between the two.
Mm.
What do you mean? They overlap, partially or wholly. For example, every religion has something to do with what people as a community or as a group should do. And this is what the state does. The state says marriage should be according to this or these laws. A religion says no. According to our religion, it should not be this way. One religion says that people should be educated in this way. A secular state says no. They cannot be. So there can never be any neutral laws. Laws cannot at all be neutral, because a law has to be specific. It must be. It says this should be so and so and so and so, and this will never be compatible with the teachings of all other religions or secular. For example, if the state is Islamic, and it says that laws must be according to Islam, this will necessarily conflict with the secular ideas. If there are secular people in the Muslim state, it will necessarily there will necessarily be conflict with Christian or Jewish religions. If there are Jewish and Christian minorities living in the Muslim world. So there is no solution for this.
I'm sorry, Sheikh, but isn't the idea
yeah.
that we will put these laws as biased as they may be, but we will also make sure that people who do not necessarily adhere to these beliefs or ideologies will not be jeopardized or lose their rights
okay.
as a result.
Okay, this is what Islam says. But then you cannot say that it is neutral. The problem is about the neutrality. You are claiming that we are all citizens, we are all equal, and we have a system of government that is completely neutral. Everyone has right that like the other one. And now you say no. For example, you know, you live in the United States, you know that many Christians would like their children to study their religion.
Mm-hmm.
But it is forbidden to teach any religion in a school.
But it's forbidden in a public school, but the parents are given the choice, the freedom,
yes,
to either do it in a private school.
Ah, now here comes that false freedom. This means I send my child to a private school and I have to pay money for that. If I send my child to a public school, it's free. But and also their objection would be, I am paying taxes, and that and some of my money is spent on these public schools. Which I disagree with. So it is impossible, I mean logically impossible, to have a system of laws that is completely neutral. Among and the United States is a very good example of this.
Hmm.
There are so many books about the problems between church and state in the United States.
Hmm.
And in fact, there are journals. I was surprised to find this. There is a journal, a quarterly journal called Church and State, in which the problems of the relationship between church and state are discussed and dealt with.
I remember seeing their website on the internet. If that is the case, then Sheikh, you're saying that logically, practically, what is the proposed alternative to this?
Proposed alternative. Let me. I was going to give you an example. Again, the same person whom I quoted
earlier.
He said many lawsuits about the entanglement of religion and government have involved conflicts between Christian churches or denominations and state laws and regulations. But there have been some major cases involving other religions. And there is bound to be this kind of conflict. Now, what is the solution? The solution is what you alluded to, is that there must be, in the Constitution, it must be said that all people who belong to other ideologies or philosophies or moral systems must be given these rights. And I used to say to some people that, in fact, Islam gives minorities of this kind more rights than secularism gives to religious people.
Sheikh, as you know probably, that is a statement that really needs to be not only defended, but as you would require, we would want to see some evidence for making such, if I may say, a blunt statement. Yeah. Yeah. But please hold on to that thought. We will take a short break and we will be back with Dr. Jaffer. Stay tuned, please.
Let's talk. So this is something that you have to point out to them in the Bible.
It's something which is, I think, very direly needed by the youth, which is staying firm on the truth.
This is just one of the greatest examples for me of how to control your anger.
Within the framework of being the cleanest religion, the cleanest jurisprudence, and in the meantime, the kindest religion to animals.
Watch Let's Talk with Khalil Amanet as he interviews guests and discusses a variety of topics, everything from youth issues to religious issues. Join us here on Hoda TV.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace and blessings of God be upon all of you out there. And thank you for joining us back again, The Rational, the intersection of faith and reason. Dr. Jaffer, before we went to the break, you made a statement and you said that, in fact, Islam gives minorities more rights than these secular democracies would grant to the minorities.
To religious minorities. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're talking about specifically religious minorities.
I don't know, because there are no secular minorities now. I don't know what would be their ideology. But let us talk about religious minorities.
Please.
What do religious minorities like Christians and Jews have in Islam? Yeah. They have the right to have to build their own places of worship. Of course, they have this right also in the West. Mm-hmm. They have the right to organize what is called private
ahwal
al-shakhsiyya, according to their religion. So their marriage will be recognized according to their religion. In the West, for example, no Muslim has the right to marry more than one wife, because this will be against the law. In spite of the fact that alcoholic drinks are forbidden, but the people who belong to other faith can drink alcoholic drinks, but with some certain conditions. They can't teach their own children according to their, and so on. I can't think of a right that is given, that secular democracy gives to religious people, that is not also given in Islam. Someone said, no, this is not the case, because in a secular democracy, you can be a president, whether you are Muslim or Jewish or Christian, but in an Islamic democracy, you cannot be Khalifa or if you are non-Muslim. I said, yes, but that will be on condition that you accept secularism. Mm-hmm. And in that case, you will not be acting as a Muslim. You might claim that you are a Muslim in your private life or so, that you pray. But when you come and make an oath that you will obey a secular constitution and preserve it and so on, you will not be acting as a Muslim. So this is done at the expense of your religion. Yes, there's a difference here. We must say that there is a difference here. In Islam, you will be asked to be a Muslim before you even make the oath. If you are not a Muslim, then you will not be given the right to be president. And I don't think that the difference is very big between the two.
But Sheikh, how do we reconcile such a thing where on the surface it appears that you're given more rights, and you know, irrespective or in despite of your religious beliefs, that you have an equal opportunity to go and serve the people as their leader, but that's not necessarily the case within the Islamic...
Yeah, I have just said, you have this right on condition that you don't become a Muslim president. Yeah, and in your capacity as president, you cannot be a Muslim, because the most important thing for a Muslim is to abide by God's law. And here you are saying that, of course, might be, in some extreme circumstances, a Muslim might say, might find excuse for doing this because he thinks that this will be more beneficial to the Muslim community or whatever, but he will not be acting as a Muslim president. And the problem also is that as someone, I think he's called Carter, who writes in the West, who writes many books about this problem. He is a staunch defender of his religion and of other religions. And he says that our experience has shown that now it is the secular government, secular state, which defines what religion is. Because when you say that religion is a private affair, who said this? I am a Muslim. I don't say that my religion is just a private affair. As you said, I claim that it is a complete way of life. And therefore, it is bound, because it is so comprehensive, it is bound to have more conflicts with a secular state than another religion that is not wholly private, but has very little to do with public life. So the conflict of this religion with secular state will be less than a religion that like Islam. And there is no way for Muslims, except when they are bound to, or except when they go to propagate Islam or so. There is no way for Muslims to live as Muslims in a non-Islamic state. They cannot live a complete Islamic life. Impossible.
It is certainly more challenging to be a Muslim in an area where the majority of the people around you are not Muslims. Mm. Sheikh, we have a few minutes left and I have two questions for you, if I may, please. You said that this advancement of separation of state and church in the West was due to the conflict that that was there between the church and the state. And this is how they were able to deal with it, and that is make religion a private affair.
Mm.
Within Muslim history, it seemed that the Muslims were more prosperous when there was this harmony where religion and state were almost the same thing.
Yeah.
What we see nowadays is, well, that's obviously not present. What were the motives of the Muslims to do this?
Motives of the Muslims to do what?
What were the motives of the Muslims to separate church and state?
Aping the West. Because you see, many people now think that to live a modern life, your model should be that of the West. And they don't distinguish between what factors made this made the West prosperous or advanced or so. And I once gave an example of this. I said that we are behaving like someone who likes to become an athlete, and he's fond of someone, you can mention any name in America now, and he wants to be like him. So the first thing he did was to wear a short like the short of that athlete, or a shirt like his athlete, or to comb his hair in the... That will not make him an athlete. And this is what many of us are doing now. And instead of making advancement in science and technology, because this is the basis of the advancement of the West. This is the basis. And instead so of concentrating on this and the conditions for its success, like because there cannot be any advancement in science without some freedom, freedom. And even the Soviet Union realized this. There was no freedom like the West, but when it came to scientific matters, people were given some freedom. So the more freedom you give to people to express their views and to argue with each other and so on. And also, you, if you insist, in my view, I think that the problem with the Muslim world and the thing that prevented Muslim countries from making this
progress,
I think it is because of the secularists. The secularists made a real conflict in the society. They, perhaps their motive was that they thought that there is no way for us to advance or to be like the West except by imitating the West. And there are many famous intellectuals. Some of them, I believe, were very honest people. One Egyptian philosopher whom I used to like very much, and I used to disagree with on certain issues, and I was glad to hear when I came here last time that in the last years or months of his life, he changed completely and spent all his time reading the Quran. And that is called Zakaria. What is it called him? I hope I would remember his name. Anyway, he once made a confession. He said there was a time, and this is a professor of philosophy, and he has very good, Zaki Najib Mahmoud, he's called Zaki Najib Mahmoud. He said, and I say again, that he had good knowledge of the West. He spoke very good English because he lived in London for some time. And by the way, I think he was also in the university, in Gordon College in the Sudan. Yes. He said there was a time in his life when he thought that there is no way for us to progress except by imitating the West. He said, I used to think that we must play the way they play, we must be serious the way they are serious, we must write from right to left as they do.
Unbelievable.
Now.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
That's what we call a very unhealthy self-image, I call it.
But this is, if a great thinker like this had this kind of ideas about the West and about the conditions for progress, what do you think of lesser people?
Sure, sure.
This was the problem.
Sheikh, my last question, and we only have a few minutes left now, is obviously you're a big fan of Ibn Taymiyyah, and I once heard you quote him saying that God would actually aid and help a community in Allah la yansuru al-dawla al-zalima.
Yes, this is not his words, but it might be that he is just repeating. Many people said
yeah, that God may aid and help a community or a society that is just but does not implement his ways over a community that does implement his ways but is not.
Of course, there is some contradiction in this, because if you are implementing Islam, you must be just, because the whole religion is based on justice. But it must be implementing some Islamic things, and leaving the most important, and that is justice. So.
So by default, a country or any place that calls
then
itself
they will not be preserved.
Got you.
Because justice is one. I mean, injustice is one of the main reasons why states fail or
prosper.
Yes.
Okay. And with this, Sheikh Jafar, once again, Jazakallah khair, and thank you very much for being with us. We come to the conclusion of this program. Thank you for joining us and hoping that you would join us again. Until then, we say so long and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.